We are live. What's going on, everybody? What's going on? So today, what's going on, Rob? So here is what we got going on today. We have Zeb Tuck from lovely state of Kentucky. And he is with the band Zebulon and Company, and he is a country artist. And if you have not heard his music, I am kidding you. You are in for a treat if you have not. You need to go watch this man. He is amazing, amazing good. I've been listening to him all day. I'll just toggle through your playlist a little bit, and I have your live one. I have seen the one on YouTube. So excited to have you, Zeb. What's going on, man?
Oh, I appreciate that. Very kind words. And it's a pleasure to be here. Not a ton going on, just, enjoying the afternoon and picking around some tunes. But, yeah, I do appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we totally appreciate it. So this is the part in the show where we talk about desserts. So I'm always going to let the guest go first because the guest is the most important person with his dessert choices. So what do you have for dessert choices? What are your favorite desserts? And what do you have anything going on today? What's going on?
Oh, Dan? My goodness. I know I'm trying to do this. I was out of town last week on vacation and I ate so much junk. It is unreal. So I'm trying to keep between the lines now. But if I were going to make a dessert, it's actually kind of challenging, believe it or not. It's my grandmother's recipe, and I don't know if I could have pulled it off for you, but they're called applesauce cupcakes, and it's got maraschino cherries, raisins, applesauce, of course, and then this strawberry pink icing, and it's just those cupcakes are you can easily put away a dozen, trust me.
No doubt. That sounds amazing. So I'm not going to say as always. Today I actually brought a dessert, not an ingredient for a dessert.
Nice.
I brought a dessert. the hurricane sugar made me kind of feel bad. Like you're part of a dessert show, but you don't bring a dessert.
A little reminder of like what he brought last week was just a banana.
What?
Just a banana.
It was a lot with a banana, apparently.
Well, that was my thing. I said you could eat it, or it was part of Brandon's favorite food. It was banana pudding, and I just brought the banana. I said, "Hey, it's an ingredient for the thing you like the most."
That's cheap.
What do you got?
Yeah, I know. So today I have Andy's frozen custard. If you guys have any of the ever heard of this place, I don't know if they're a big franchise, not a big franchise, but they are amazing. And this is M&M, but my favorite from them is they have a peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, wow.
Oh my goodness.
It's kind of rare for ice cream.
For ice cream, you're like peanut butter and jelly. Sounds totally good. So good. So good. Yeah. It's like you're just taking it right out of the package and just missing the bread, but it's so good. Oh.
Where are you picking that up at? Is it just local, you said?
That's the whole thing. It's called Andy's Custard. I know it's local here and they have a ton of them, but I think it's a franchise and I don't know how far it goes throughout the United States. But
probably ordered online, but
yeah, probably. Yeah. But super, super good. Very, very, I mean, it's just excellent ice cream. So this is, if anybody knows me, my grandson absolutely, like, he's the four scoop kid. He will get four scoops of Andy's custard every time that he's with grandpa and grandma. So nice. So I got to pick up something this week. So James, who is the professional chef, we bow down to the amazing. Every week there is something more amazing. Oreo cheesecake. What was last week?
That sounds great.
What was last week? I forgot what was.
Something still amazing. Yeah, creme brulee or something.
This week I did go frozen, and I was like, you know what? I haven't made anything frozen, and something with pineapple came out, and it's funny because Joe made his little rant today about pineapple. So I made something with pineapple. Like I was just craving something with pineapple, and I'm like, so I made they call it the pineapple or a Dole Whip. So something along that line of like it's really just pureed pineapple, like fresh pineapple, cut up, put it in the freezer for until it's really just till it's frozen, and then condensed milk and regular milk, blend it and put a puree in blender, and really just kind of we have these at work, and just probably that's all it is.
That's awesome.
It's just like a hard. It's like a, it's kind of like ice cream, or I don't know, like a sort.
Pretty quick though. I mean, not
that
to
sounds
pretty quick.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's refreshing.
That's exact, and they call it a Dole Whip. Last time I was in Disneyland, we actually got one. Yeah. So, and speak of the Disneyland, so Disney World. My oldest daughter just arrived in Disney World and is working in Epcot Center. So, if anybody in this live stream world goes to Epcot Center, definitely go to Germany and pick on the little on the girl named Charisse there. Order some crazy wine from Mexico, even though it's Germany.
Right. Just order something from a different country besides.
Yeah, just order and say, hey, can I have some French wine? And they'll be like, no, you can't. She loves people asking her about that. So,
just so, say that Andy sent you.
Andy sent you. Well, your dad sent you. Your dad said that you would help hook me up with some Spanish wine. Can you ask me about how's your Moscato?
Right. Said you gave me a bottle for free.
How about those cuckoo clocks?
He said I don't have anything I want in here for nothing.
So yeah, we're really excited for her. But Zeb, we have some questions for you about food. And we just heard a good story about a good dessert. But when you're on the road or you're recording in your studio, what is your go-to food?
Fried chicken.
Oh,
fried chicken. Okay. There you go.
It's simple. It's easy. It sounds weird. I like eating it cold sometimes. It's good that
Me
way.
Me too.
It depends. You got to have the right chicken, but yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's probably my go-to,
I would say that is a really good one. And KFC is one of my mom would make the best, of course, can't go wrong.
Yeah,
mom,
but
KFC is a really good one. If you're going to go and do a picnic and it's cold chicken, that's what we used to do. We used to bring that along as our family, like picnic thing, like about halfway through when we were driving somewhere, we would just eat cold chicken out of the cooler. So I just loved it.
Churches. Yeah. See, it's weird churches because, Kentucky, not too many people like, at least from my understanding, not too many people like KFC, but outside of Kentucky, it's huge. Everybody loves it, but I'm a Bojangles type of man myself, but
Bojangles. Here's the thing about, and I've never even heard of it, but I should take that back. I have heard of Bojangles because I have Ken Bluegrass Bearded, who is right there in Kentucky next to you guys. So, he tells us about these things, but, probably because in KFC it's just called fried chicken. It's not Kentucky Fried Chicken. You're already in Kentucky, so it's just fried chicken. They're like, fried chicken. we already have that stuff here. It's like going down to Mexico and asking for Mexican food.
Can I just get some food?
It's actually the food here. It's like, it's just the food. Yeah, we just eat the food here. What's going on, Nick H? What's going on?
Yo,
Mr.
Nick.
Jersey Ron, what's going on, buddy?
I am a foodie though, I will say. Like
I was gonna go. What is your favorite? Now you just told me a story about you going down. You're originally from Carolina. What is your favorite southern, that southern food that is going to give you that soul food that you're going to go to that mama makes that you're just going to be like that. You're not even it's not even a trip unless you've done that.
Okay.
Eating that food.
Meatloaf. I know that sounds weird, but my grandpa just made this special meatloaf. I don't even know what was in it. Oatmeal and stuff like that. It sticks to your bones really good. And, honestly, okra, fried okra, that's some southern, love it.
Yep.
Grandma would do this like light breading to it, not even really heavy breading, but it's just so good. With the fried chicken, obviously, that's a good meal.
I love a good gumbo. Somebody made a good gumbo.
Okra is like the main one. Like without okra, it's not gumbo, it's like just soup, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a big. So the interesting thing is that we decided to garden And I had never had okra before in my life, or maybe I'd known about, didn't know about it. I thought it was squash or something. But we decided to grow okra. And that stuff is like a weed. It will grow and grow and grow and produce and produce and produce. We had so much okra that we didn't. So we found recipes beyond belief. We found gumbo fried. I mean, I was frying it like every day for a while because we just had, I mean, it was like 20 a day would come off this plant. Just crazy amounts of okra. Oh, so good, man. So good. But then you have to, but the secret is you cannot let okra grow too big or it gets too like fibery. So it just has to be those small ones. Yeah. It's just one of those ones you have to just know the perfect time to pick it. In Arizona, you'd go out one in the morning, be kind of like on the verge of being able to pick it. And then if you go out the day, it's already gone. It's already grown up. It's like, what? I missed the 2 hour time window when it was perfect to pick it.
Yeah, Nick H says, what dish will you not eat other than in the South?
There we go. Go ahead. Let's see what Zeb has to say about the dish he was not ever will never eat.
Oh, you know what? There's not much. Like, I'll be honest. You put it in front of me, I'll probably try it. I'm pretty open-minded.
I am too.
Yeah. I mean, I really love oysters. I know that's kind of a little off the reservation. Not really Southern, but especially, you know, right out of the, right out, you know, get them fresh. Absolutely. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll eat anything, man. I'm kind of a junk food junkie growing up. And then I hit this health kick and try to keep between the lines. It's tough, but you splurge occasionally. And sweets is my go-to. Cookies, you name it. Yeah. Cookies, cake.
I'm trying to think of anything that I would not eat. And I think, like, liver and onions would probably be – like the least amount that I would ever want to eat. Like, it's not like I wouldn't eat it, but probably not on my favorite
list. Right?
That's the whole thing. It's all about preparation. Sauce. Yep. I've had escargot. Have you had escargot, James or Giselle?
Yeah, I've had that. I actually have enjoyed it. A place I used to work at, they had an escargot dish.
It's a sauce. If the sauce is right on that, it's perfect. And it doesn't taste bad. You wouldn't even know what it was. It tastes like oysters, like what you're saying. It tastes like seafood. It's a
snails, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, never went there, but yeah. I would.
We used to say oysters and stuff too. So I mean, we used to get different oysters from different bays and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
See, and that's where the Floridians. See, I live in the desert. And seafood is just not something you do out here.
You eat lizards.
You know, we have a lot of great Mexican, but seafood, I mean, like, you can get Baja stuff and it's okay, but you better watch what you're eating. I mean, I've had stuff goes bad really quick out here. So Zeb, that is, I think that food is, like, we got through the food stuff, but the question for me, he is music wise. So you are a country music artist, and you have a few songs on Spotify. You have an album that you're working on right now. Absolutely love what you're doing. But what got you into this space and what made you kind of feel like this country music was your genre of music to play?
Truth be told, I grew up on country music, and I don't really like to stick to any one genre. I mean, certainly it's got those aspects and those influences. But, you know, Americana folk, there's some blues mix in there, but grew up on country. It's funny. I don't know if it's funny or not. I used to rock myself to sleep listening to Dolly Parton, hear my folks tell it. But, you know, Randy Travis, I've seen George Strait, grew up on that sort of thing. And, you know, I went through my rock phase, heavy metal, done all that. Love it. Every genre has its time and place.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I could be listening to hip hop one day at the gym and then going, you know, rocking out in the evenings to old school stuff. I grew up on old school stuff like Jim Croce as far as singer songwriter.
Jim Croce. Yep.
Absolutely. And then the Beatles, a lot of Beatles, which in my opinion, great songwriting. So what are you guys, a Stones guy or a Beatles guy?
They both have different things. It's depending on what mood that you're in. I mean, it could,
I am biased because of who my mom is. My mom grew up during the Beatles phase, lived in England when the Beatles came out, and absolutely had their dolls, had their cards, had their albums, had, you know, music picks, had just absolutely. And like she said, she always tells me, if I would have kept onto those dolls, I would be a millionaire right now, because she had some Beatles dolls that were like originally made. And so she is, so I grew up with that as a influence. And so, you know, the White Album played in my house probably 3 or 4 times every month.
Nice.
Right. So yeah, that was her. Like that,
but yeah.
Yeah. Are you a,
there's a painting back on my wall. You can't really see it now. It's Abbey Road.
Oh, Abbey Road.
Yep. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Over there somewhere.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Yeah. Love it.
What's funny, speaking about like Rolling Stones, by the way, so we live in like a little, I work in like a little community, you know, at a country club. And we actually found out that Mick Jagger doesn't live that far from where I work.
Oh, that's cool. So, that's really cool.
Yeah, him and his girlfriend got a house like somewhere like 10 minutes down the road from super where I work.
Cool. See, that's like super cool. Who is, what's his name? The guy from Aerosmith, Steven Tyler. Apparently, I don't know if he's from New Hampshire, but I got a brother that lives up there. I used to live up there for a little bit, but they said there's a pizza place. I don't know if he owns it, but he comes in and buys people pizza and signs their plates for them and just hangs out. I said,
wow.
You wouldn't expect that, but he's just like an everyday guy. You know what I mean? That made me like him much more to hear. He just kind of hang out.
That's local pizza joint. Yeah, and see, and I love that about musicians, that and they just want to be normal after a while. So a lot of those guys, they go through their phases where they're like, I'm huge, but now I just want to be normal and do some normal stuff. And it's almost impossible for them to do it. But if they grew up, they go into a small town and just say, hey, yeah, I'm here, but I don't want to be bothered. I just want to be like you guys. Then most people actually try to help them out and just be part of the show, you know, just. Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
Well, it's funny too. Like, think about how like the 70s or 60s, whatever. Think about back in that time where you went to a show, you could probably hang out with the artist, whatever, no problem. Now it's like, it would not happen at all.
Nah, you catching a beat and he's trying to hang out. Well, unless you got the backstage passes, they're going to charge you.
Yeah, true.
Right. Totally right. Yeah. Isn't that interesting, though, is that, I mean, just the genres of music. So I started learning a Rolling Stones song the other day, and it's the song that's on all those 70s, like...
Paint It Black.
Yep, that's exactly what I was learning. Yeah. I was like, it was on the show that I used to watch all the time, and I don't know why I don't remember it right now, but I was learning Paint It Black, which has that... It has a lot of different influence in it. And it has, you know, if you watch the actual music video, they're playing some crazy instruments.
Yeah.
But it kind of coincides with that awakening moment that the Beatles were kind of going through, where they went to India, the psychedelic rock stuff. That's the beginning of the psychedelic rock phase. Yep. Acid rock. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is where, you know, that's the interesting thing. So the Beatles kind of cut off after they, you know, they did go through different phases. There's definitely different phases of the Beatles. That's the reason why the White Album, Abbey Road is like their first. You know, they have some definitely, there's distinct differences in the music that they played at different times in their band. Where the Rolling Stones, you look at the Rolling Stones, they've played through it all. Even into the, I mean, they don't produce a lot of, now they tour still and they're playing their old music, but they went in live even to the 80s. They were playing all sorts of, their music just completely changed all the time. And it's crazy how good it is. Even the older stuff is amazing. I mean, it's just, like, and then you're like, you're looking at Mick, he looks the same. Him and, did they ever age?
Right.
That's like Keith Richards. Like, I don't think he's ever going to die.
Nah, him and Betty White. I don't know what they're doing forever.
I thought about Betty White the other day. I was like, remember that golden girl that just seems like she's, and then you see her like she's in like 50s movies.
Yeah, they're gonna be like the only two people in the world left.
She was gorgeous back in, you know, not to get off.
She
on the
was.
Table, good gracious, Betty White.
I know. When I saw that, I was like, you mean that's the? And I was like, whoa, yeah, Betty White.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something right.
Well, you know what? We know what Keith Richard. We know what he's doing. or has done. I mean,
there was like, I think it was like a few years ago. It could have been like 10 years ago, whatever. But he's like, I heard something in the news, like he got hurt by, I don't know where he was, like Hawaii or something like that. But he, I guess he fell off a tree. And I'm like, why are you up a tree anyway?
like
broke his arm or something like that. He broke his arm or something. And I'm like, why are you climbing trees?
Had to go get some coconuts.
That's what I love about music is that the
cigarette in his mouth.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm just gonna get some coconuts. I'm gonna get this apple out of here.
Don't climb the tree.
Almost inaudible. You're like, what is he saying? I don't even know. I don't even think he speaks English anymore. I love it. But those, you know, but there are different camps though. So it's hard. So it's like Star Trek and Star Wars people, Stones versus Beatles folks. There are people that are just aligned. I'm a Beatles fan. That was who I were. And then they have the Stones.
Well, you bring up an interesting point as far as just the band transformation. You know, obviously Abbey Road to Sgt. Pepper's to big. You know, and same with the Stones. Isn't that a true testament to a good band or artist?
Absolutely.
You have to keep pushing yourself and progressing. And if there's no adaptation over the years, have you? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. And that's what you're saying. So it brought up what you were saying earlier, that my music isn't defined by being country. It's a little bit Americana. It's a little bit of blues. It's a little bit of folk. And if you talk to any of the bands that we have talked to recently, they have absolutely all of that in there. A little bit of folk, a little bit of country. You know, you have Dusty, who you could be country. You could be a little bit of, you could be rock. Maybe almost a little bit harder stuff too with some of his, some of his guitar playing. So
he's incredible.
Absolutely. So, but you have those folks and you transition. And that was like, we had Brandon, another friend of that genre. And he was saying, I was in a metal band and now I'm doing my own solo stuff. And like, it's all awakened stuff. It's all like, I'm woke. I'm now writing stuff that's about, the what life is about. And, totally different music, totally different, viewpoints on life. It's just, and that's what's awesome about music is it's conveying a story. Jim Croce, absolutely. I remember trips with that guy. He was the original folk lyricist. That guy wrote songs that you were like, you could almost weep by. The operator song. And then I remember Time in a Bottle. I remember
I really like some of his upbeat stuff, some of the bluesy upbeat stuff as well.
Like the Bad Leroy Brown.
Deeper tracks like Speedball Tucker. I don't know if you ever heard that.
Oh,
that
was great. Okay.
Just the storytelling element, and then also just Jim's voice and everything. I went and saw his son about a year ago, and he did a lot of storytelling just about, backstory where his dad was writing these songs. Time in a Bottle was actually written for AJ, is his son. And
That's cool.
Completely different style artist. He's a very into piano. And the piano, oh my gosh, he rips it. Live's great. If you ever get a chance, I would highly suggest that. Yeah.
I'll have to go check him out. Yeah, I didn't even know his. That's what's interesting is that you have so many different. They're now kids of it. Like you have, Waylon's son.
Willie's son.
Yeah, you have all these guys coming out, with, Hank Williams III. There's three of them now. There's like the junior, and then you have, then you were like, oh, junior is awesome. And then third is just blows your mind how much he sounds like his grandpa in his country sides. And love then just that. Total rock and metal on the other sides. I love it. My buddy was. That's what's really cool about it is, and I love the fact that these guys are, that they have sons that do that. Like, I guess Marley has Bob Marley has a kid that plays too.
Is it Ziggy?
So, Ziggy. Yep.
It is. Okay. Yeah. Very cool. So John Prine's son. Got to mention John Prine. Yeah, we are.
Yep, absolutely. Good stuff. I grew up in, so my parents are old country. My parents and my grandparents for sure. My grandparents were like John Denver, a little bit Conway Twitty. My grandparents were Conway Twitty, and then the original Hank Williams, and a little bit of the Outlaw stuff back in the day. So definitely, And then, but my dad was mostly like, my dad was like the John Denver fan. He loved John Denver.
He's got his, yeah, he definitely got his place up there. You a Glenn Campbell fan?
Of course, that's definitely in the album. Yeah, that's absolutely in
Wichita Lineman. Yeah. Excellent song.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that's when lyrics really, I mean, that's the thing about, and that's the thing that I noticed about yours is your lyrics are just absolutely phenomenally wrote. They go along, they have a story to tell. And that's what I really like about the songs that I was listening to is that there was a story to go along with it. And you could tell, and that, so that brings me to your question. Are you, the lyrics come to me and then I write a song around it, or are you gonna hear your list, you're picking through your guitar and you're like, what could I go with this riff? Yeah. And
that's like everyone's question. I get that pretty often. It really just depends. Sometimes I'll be, sit down, I'm more into the music and finding that riff or whatever, get into that and then just see what you can put around it vocally.
Right.
A lot of times it will be just like the actual harmony of the vocal, and once I kind of get that somewhat structured, and I said, let's see what lyrics, let me see what this is making me feel. And yeah, I mean, that's what music is. It's an emotion based thing. And yeah, if I feel strongly towards it, then I'll write about that. But, and then there's some cases where I just kind of, something will hit in my head and I'll just write it all out and then say, here's a piece of music I've got and let's see if they pair together. And it's really just case by case. I just try to have fun with it overall. Yeah.
I love that, man. Yeah. Nice. James, what do you got? I know that you've done your I know you. So
I was gonna ask if there was like an artist that you could work with, like could be anybody, like to work with, who would you have? Like you can pick a couple if you want.
Couple.
If they were like, you can pick anybody. Like we'll get it for
that's
you.
That's tough. I mean, that's a really tough question because sure, I would say I really like what some of these local, the Kentucky guys are doing. Like Chris Stapleton would be a huge pleasure. Sergil Simpson, you know what I mean? Like that would be a lot of fun. But then you think on a larger spectrum, like Paul McCartney, that would be incredible to co-write a song with Paul McCartney.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
It's funny. It's like that side note when he went on the show with Kanye. Everybody, the younger generation's tweeting like, "Oh, it's so nice of him to give this old man a chance to play his music." So, do you know who that is? It's Paul McCartney. But I would say
like, this guy is good. Like this guy should make a record. Like he's
so nice of Kanye to give him the platform.
Yeah. Totally right. That's funny. So Paul McCartney has a huge ranch out here in Arizona somewhere. And well, over by my area, like just south of town, of Phoenix. And it's always Paul McCartney Way, McCartney this, McCartney Highway. It's crazy.
He owns it all.
He does. And the Duke. The Duke has a ranch out here too. So it was like a combination in that area. There's either McCartney or there's John Wayne something.
Very cool. That's something that I love too. Old school westerns. Old school westerns.
I never really grew up on country myself. I mean, I'm originally from California to Florida, so really, I mean, Florida is when I kind of started getting into a little bit because obviously more of a southern state, of course. But I mean, California got more just into the classic rock, metal, or whatever alternative '80s type stuff.
Electronic is huge out there, is it not?
It is.
Yeah.
I will tell you what got me into country, my life. That's what got me into country. You've been through a few marriages and lots of kids. Your dishwasher, you have no money for rent.
You're broken down trucks.
Play it.
She ran over your dog.
Ran over my dog.
Dog died yesterday.
No, honestly, the lyrics really did speak. As an older, and when I got into my 30s, I dated. I grew up around it with my parents, but then I was more rock. I was a heavy metal. I'm a heavy metal guy. That's what I play. I play heavy metal guitar. That's what I'm about. And then I think that life happened to me, and I really got into the lyrics of country music. Yeah. And, it's about your life. It's really about, real people's lives. And I think that really spoke to me with country and how it was, a lot of the songs that were in it.
That's well said. I agree with that entirely. That's well said. Yeah.
Yeah. But what if you were to pick one song out there that is something that you're working on right now, what is the one song that you're very excited to, that you put out so far, that you're like, that was really, really fun? Or what was fun about one of your songs that you've written? So
I would say most recently I put out Ramblin' On, or a little bit earlier this year. That was so much fun in the studio. It was. I mean, that started with a riff and then a phrase in my head, and then it just kind of came together. And some people say, "Well, you know, who is that about?" It's, you know what, just you interpret it however you'd like. It's, you know, I'm not going to go spoiling any details, but you'll see that, you know, records should be available a little bit later this year. I'm shooting for maybe October. Fingers crossed. There's always challenges, but there's kind of a theme that progresses throughout that, and Ramblin' should be like right dead center of the EP. So, yeah, hopefully you guys stick around, check great that out song. Down the line.
Yeah, great song, great song.
And even that song, you can kind of pick up. I mean, it's more than just country. You can pick up. It's a lot more than just that. You can pick up other genres as well in it.
Yep. Yeah, cool. I think I can pick up the Americana piece in it. I can definitely pick up the Americana piece in it.
I think it's probably the most suiting. You know,
I was like, this is so Johnny Cash almost.
When
I was thinking going through, I was like, this is sounds like a Johnny Cash song where you're like,
just
I'm
that,
a ram-
like, twang, but just that little twang that kind of goes to it.
Yeah, nice. That's good. Nice.
That's a big compliment. Thank you, gentlemen.
Love it. Yeah, love it. Absolutely love it. So, and you're on, so just for our future, for our viewers, he is on Spotify. Absolutely check him out. And he is under Zebulon and Company. And we found him on Spotify. I think you're on Apple Music as well. I think you're on, all streaming services. So,
yeah, it should be. The publisher pushes it out that way. So, it should be Amazon, Apple. Very Spotify, good. Of course, YouTube. There's a couple of YouTube videos out there for.
I did. I saw that. I dug deep on researching. So I was like, I actually shared one of your shorts or one of your songs on my Facebook last night. I was just so impressed. I was just like, this is a great song. It's
you.
Just, yeah, that. Just it. The song that I now I'm not going to remember. I don't think it was Ramble. It was one another song, actually. And I was just like, that is just so country. I love country music. And this is.
The taking-
yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So I was like, I was impressed by the fact that you had that older sound for, you can tell that you pay respect to that. You're like, hey, this is where I come from. A lot of people, when they're thinking about country, there a lot of the newer country stuff comes up, but paying respect to where your roots are, that's what I kind of felt that song was. You're like, this is coming from some roots of where you grew up at, and that's where music for me lies anyway, is from, you know, your soul and where you grew up at. So great song. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
So the cool thing about being that he has a guitar with him right now,
yes, sir,
is that we can hear him play a couple songs or so if we could.
Sure.
And again, you know, you don't have to. Sometimes people have like, you know, like what they want to talk about their song. What does it mean to them? Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what the song means to you in whatever way. You don't have to say, I wrote this for this lady who was mean to me. Oh. But you can say what it means to you and what it, you know, maybe what it reflects for you musically.
Sure. This one, the first one I'm going to play for you, I wrote a little earlier this year. Well, truth be told, I actually had half of it end of 2020 and then finished it. And the other half, well, you know, beginning of the year, it's like I said, I like to leave things to interpretation, as you know, for the listener. They can, you guys, that way it's more personable. They, you know, adapt their own feel on it. But I you know, it sounds maybe a little cliche, but about love. You know, just life will pass you by quickly, and you sometimes you don't plan for things. As far as, I never planned to fall in love, but it can just sort of happen. And so a little bit of storytelling there, and then it's fun. I'm excited to put that one out, because as far as the producing and the studio, kind of takes on this old world feeling, European type sound. And I think people will really enjoy it. It's kind of mellow, but yeah, it's called Heartwork, and should have that out in the end of July is what I'm shooting for. But
hear it. There we go. Thank you very much for playing.
Oh yeah, not a problem. I appreciate you having me. All right, Heartwork. Started out on a coast, some old sandy beach, fall in love by the bay, and she was mine to keep. And I knew it all along, but when she looked back at me with those glowing eyes, and I knew what love could be. And it's great just to say you're my sweet loving honey, babe. And I know one thing's for sure, you'll be in my heart until I go. Us by, but I love every minute of my little life, and I look back to see those loving eyes, and I know they saved me time after time, and it's great just to say sweet loving honey, babe. And I know one thing for sure, you'll be in my heart until I go. Yes, it's great just to say you're my sweet loving honey, babe. And I know one thing's for sure, you'll be in my heart until I go. All right. That was
hard. That is beautiful. Beautiful song. Yeah.
Thank you.
And you know what I really like about it is that it's simple, but yet so you can feel it. I love songs like that. Beautiful song. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm a little rough after last week at the beach. Things got a little crazy. And
tell us about that. What happened at the beach?
Oh, my God. What didn't happen at the beach is the question. Right. My liver hates me, I will tell you that. Normally, I'm not a big drinker, but I was hanging out with family, and not that that's what drove me to drink, but I did have – I did indulge a little bit. But, no, it's just a good time. A lot of good time with family, and it'll wear you out, though. So
they can, because they all want to get their piece of, you know, while you're there. Zeb's here. Let's go hang out. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come from a big family? Do you come from a big family? Small family?
Five brothers, one sister.
Oh, wow.
And now most of them have, let's see, I had nieces, nephews there, probably, what, six to eight? Yeah, I think I had, Yeah, somewhere's in there. Just a lot of kiddos running around. It's awesome to play music for them. Lots of good food, lots of good drinks and late nights. And, you know, stayed in this little place where the beach houses were just right on top of one another. And it was cool because I would sit out and play a little music. And it would just the neighbors come out and, oh, we didn't realize you're getting a free show. You know, well, thank you. I guess so.
I love that.
That's the best part about having the musician for a family member, I guess. For free music.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So I grew up with a musician and my dad, and we heard his music so much that we were just like, yeah, that's just my dad. Yeah, we know him. Yeah, he plays. And people, he's amazing. Have you heard him play? I'm like, all of my life. Yeah, we right. know him. Yeah, he's great. Yep. He'll tell you that. He'll be on our show in eventually, you know, here in the next month or so. And he definitely is funny because he'll be like, yeah, I played this. I did this whole orchestration and I did this and this. And all we were like, it's okay. You're still doing that same bass line though, Dad.
You gotta give props to Pops. Come on now.
Absolutely. He's actually an amazing musician, and it's so interesting because he started off, we were talking about clarinet. That's where he grew up kind of in a music family. So he started playing piano and he always had a piano around. But he gave me my first clarinet because he was a clarinetist. And I have that bond with him. We're clarinetists.
Bond.
It is. I mean, it's like, yeah, he played into college and he went to Interlock in Michigan, which is, up in, you know, Michigan, but it's somewhere up where there's a beautiful lake, and he got to play music with all these crazy, amazing, you know, world phenom artists and sweet. Amazing. But, yeah, it's fun. I think it's, but you get used to it. So you're like, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just my brother. Five brothers and a sister. That's crazy, man. That's awesome. What a crazy house that must have been growing up in. How fun. There's stories. Yeah. The stories that can be told from a crazy house like that.
Oh, you have no idea. I'm not even going to open that can of worms. But it's funny what you're saying about your pops, because that's how most of my siblings are at this point. Oh, yeah, he's got that guitar. Did he bring it again? But the nieces, nephews, the younger, they love it. You know, no one's around them doing that. Seems like a lot of these younger kids aren't getting exposed to that sort of music, you know, just guitar right. playing or piano or any of that. It's just, well, here, put it on your pad and go, you know, go to town. You know, it's a lot totally different right. when you got someone sitting in front of you playing a song and you can feel the emotion behind it. It's very unique. So I think that's what attracted me to playing music in general, just sitting down and hearing someone actually do that. And I was like, wow, right. I have to do that, you know?
Yep, I totally feel you. There is something electric about playing in front of people. And I haven't done it with guitar, but I did it with clarinet for a long time, like 8-9 years. And there is something electric about being in front of an audience and them connecting with the music you're playing. There's something electric about it. Yeah, I get it.
I agree.
So James, I'll let you. I know you have questions. So he always comes very prepared with awesome questions. So what's your next question, sir?
I was actually still trying to think of a question. So what has been like your favorite place? I mean, to play, like, since you how long have you been playing to begin
oh,
with?
Oh, quite a bit. I mean, tinkering with it off and on my whole life. Like right. like Andy was saying, I grew up in a music household. That many siblings, we all played an instrument at one point, and never really took it too serious. I never had any lessons, you know, other than just watching folks tinker around with it. But favorite place I've played, I don't know. It's always fun getting out and playing. They all have their unique moments. And, you know, I've done some shows. Headliners here in Louisville was a blast. It's a bigger venue. And always good to get on a bigger stage, good big sound equipment. It's a lot of fun to feel that behind the mic. But that was fun. I've done various things here and there. A lot of times it would, you know, in the past it would be just house parties and stuff like that. You know, people would say, hey, come play some music. Got some things going on. And a lot of times they got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think that's when I said, oh, maybe I'm doing something okay. But
that's cool, man. That's cool. I you know, that's the thing is that music doesn't I mean, I play every day, especially recently. I didn't play as much for a while, but I play every day, and it can just be for me, or my son kind of digs, you know, hearing me play. And so it's just, it doesn't have to be for everybody. It can be in your armchair, or you can be for a huge audience. It doesn't matter. It's about that whole emotional piece. And for me, it's very much like what you're saying. It's about feelings and letting it out and being creative.
It's therapeutic.
Therapeutic. Absolutely. That's exactly
it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Something about the resonance behind the guitar, especially acoustic. I think that's why I love acoustic.
Yeah,
I love playing electric, but it's a different feel when you feel that just vibration running through your chest and everything when you're playing. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm some kind of freak, but yeah, I love it.
No, I believe you're right. I played a lot of classical. I've had a couple of acoustics that were junk, but acoustic, I absolutely love that, and you definitely feel the music because that vibration, especially I played classical a long time, and I absolutely
I absolutely loved it.
It's tougher, and it's definitely because you're hand picking everything. You're not using a pick at all, so everything is fingers. And
you had your nails on everything, the whole
nine. I did at the time. I don't anymore because I don't have an acoustic. I don't have a classical anymore. But I go over to my dad's house, and he's still he's, hey, you want to go play? And I'm just play it, and just still brings back a lot of great memories of just 4 or 5 hours a day playing guitar when I was like 13, 14.
For sure.
Yeah. Like something that's in your bones. It is very therapeutic. I think that was my outlet, my friend, growing up. So very, sounds like something that you kind of connected with as well.
Oh yeah. That's actually well said. It was a friend.
Yeah, that's how I look at my old, one of my kids was like, hey, can I borrow your guitar? And I'm like, yeah, just be safe with it. My old guitar, it's an Ibanez intermediate, kind of class Ibanez. And I said, just take care of it because it's my friend. This is the thing that I played 6 or 7 hours when I was losing girlfriends and stressed out from studying. And this was my friend, this was my friend growing up. So played him 4 or 5 hours a day. Yeah, good times. So I bet you have another song that we would love to hear if you have some more time.
Sure. Absolutely. So, I'd love to.
Yeah, so maybe we can get a couple more songs and then we'll hang it up for the night. But we totally appreciate you coming on.
It's a pleasure. I wish we were all closer so we could enjoy some desserts.
Right.
I would, and I totally know what you're saying because I've actually, now that my daughter's going to Disney, I was like, now I have a reason to go visit James.
Now you have a reason. What a dick. Now you have a reason. You better be now I have a reason. Desserts with that attitude.
Right.
He's right. I'm not giving you anything.
That's fine.
The only reason why you're coming here is to use me for my food.
Well, hey, in all fairness, he's the chef.
He is a chef. Absolutely right.
So, I'll do one more. I'll do Ramblin'. Cool. It's a single I just put out. Probably no one's heard it acoustic, I don't think. Maybe a few here and there, but I'll give that to you.
Right on. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hopefully you can see me all right. I wish my camera was a little better, but
you look what good, I'm working with good. Today. It's all right.
All right. Where I belong, I've been running all day, just can't catch myself. Acting the things again and again, always looking for another win. Last time I was certainly riding high. Man, if it were easy, well, anyone do it. I may be walking through hell, but I sticking to it. Well, I'm gambling on the hope and a prayer. Doesn't seem like anyone cares. I'm rambling on and it's just a must. Little bit time, touch a bit good spot. Take another shot of rock and rock. I'm rambling on and just can't help myself. Man, if it were easy, well, anyone could do it. Not maybe walking through hell, but I'm sticking to it. Well, I'm rambling on and leaving my home. Don't quite know where I belong. I've been running all day, just can't get myself. She always wants me back at home. Always on me like a dog on a bone. And I ain't the type to stick around. Man, if it were easy, well, anyone could do it. I may be walking through hell, but I'm sticking to it.
Absolutely amazing. Awesome. Thank awesome. You. Awesome.
Thank you.
Great yeah. acoustic.
Yeah. yeah. So of course, you know, for everybody who's out there, he is playing on a Taylor, right?
Yes, sir.
And how long have you had your friend there, the Taylor?
Oh my goodness. Just over a year. Nice. Like I said, I think I told you earlier, I was supposed to have it in the shop today and I was like, oh no, I got to go play some music with Andy and James. I was like, oh my goodness. So needs a little bit of work, but I still love it, man. Anytime you get a chance to play a Taylor or Gibson or Martin or I nerd out.
Yeah, good times. And then you already picked out your newest. So for guitarists out there, his next lineup is Martin, right?
Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Nice. Yes. That's
beautiful.
Like I said, just a lower resonance. When I thought the end all be all would be the Taylor and I'd be satisfied. No. As soon as I got it, I love it. I love it. And I wouldn't give it up. But then I was like, okay, there's a completely different resonance with the Martin. It's a lower thing going on there. So, yeah.
It's just a different wood. And people tell me, well, you know, what's the difference between a Fender and a Les Paul? And I said, there's a huge amount of difference. One's a brick. One's a brick and it's heavy as heck. And it doesn't, you know, and it just has a deeper, it sounds deeper. The way that the strings vibrate off of a thicker wood is just a very different sound. And I think that when you have, especially acoustics, there's a huge difference between acoustics. I've heard, you know, you can play a Yamaha and you can be fine with it. And, but when you start playing, you know, you start getting up there and you start really playing there, you can tell the difference just in a little bit of playing with it. It's just a beautiful sound.
That being said, I have played an amazing, Yamaha. I actually started on one and that's not the one I played that was any good. I don't even remember. It was an older one, I think from the 70s or something. It was well maintained. This thing was just incredible. But you know, you could find a guitar for $100 and that thing sounded incredible. Like one of the songs I recorded, it was just a little beater Samick. I mean, I hate to say beater, but I usually take it out camping and just whatever, but really great resonance from it, or you know, I guess that's how you put that. And
right,
so yeah,
I love it.
Doesn't necessarily dictate.
No, we bought a classical guitar for my one of my middle son. He started picking up guitar, and it was a Yamaha, and it sounded just as good as my dad's guitar. And I was like, and his is a, you know, $15,000 guitar, so. it's, you know, just, it just depends, you know, on the maker and how, what wood they're using and for that specific style, you know, it's just,
you said he has the guild.
My mom has the guild and my dad got, so this is the story. He got it. It was like one of those pawn shop specials, but he knows that this was like, when you actually do the research on the guitar, it's like some high end, I'd never heard of it brand, like Italian brand or Spanish. Cool. It's either Italian or Spanish. And it was like, yeah, this is a really expensive guitar that I got for like $100.
Can't beat it.
And he's like, yeah. Yeah, and he's like, when he actually, you know, he did the research on it, it's just like, wow, that's crazy. My mom has the guild, and she had it before Fender bought it, which it, and I think they kind of, you know, it's Fender, so. But she has it, and it's a beautiful sounding guitar. It's like one of those things that I cannot go, nobody can go near the guitar. Growing up, that was like, my mom played every Sunday, and so she, and you just didn't even go near it. Like you just like a
thermostat. Don't you be touching my thermostat. Right? I know what you mean.
Yeah. You're like, you just don't go near the guitars. You don't go like we had a music room and there was always, you know, so much, I mean, it's just so much equipment. And, but you just knew in that one area, this is mom's area. Stay away from the guitar. Cause if you even don't even look at it, don't even look at it. Don't even smell at it.
Don't breathe towards it. Don't do nothing.
Don't breathe towards that guitar. This is mom's baby. And she played it well. I mean, she was a student of Segovia, which is a very famous flamenco guitarist and absolutely phenomenally trained. And so she still plays today. She finally retired from teaching, but now she's doing, she does these like, I'm not sure COVID kind of stopped some of it. Just like with you, I'm sure COVID is nice to be knowing that you can go out there again if you want and play some.
Oh, games. Yeah. Absolutely. It is nice to see things open back up. Last year was just crazy. It really was.
I can't imagine for an artist. Yeah. I can't even imagine as for an artist where you like just things shut down. Like you're just in the middle of gigs and tours and all suddenly it's all done. You just, now you're just doing online stuff or trying.
Pretty much. Yeah. It did halt quite a bit because even in the studio, some people were super apprehensive. And so it just kind of things tended to drag on there a bit. But now that things are opening back up, and like I said, I should be finishing that album. Should be out October. We'll have some shows around that. And so look for that late summer and early fall.
And Spotify. And we will. And, you know, the thing about being on Tasty Licks is you get on our playlist and you'll be forever on our playlists. Because so I subscribe to Spotify. Tasty Licks Interviews is on Spotify. We have Tasty Licks Guests is our playlist. So if you guys are out there, Tasty Licks Guests, and you will find his music. You will find all of our guests since we've been doing this. This is episode 11. And we've had anybody that's on Spotify, we've actually added to the playlist. So we've had Kitty on there. We have Filter on there. We have, you know, we've had a few Dusty's on there. Now you'll be on there for sure. South for winter. So yeah, you'll be good. I think it'll be a really awesome playlist of folks. Some really cool bands. So, and so we will leave it at that. We're at the hour. We like to keep it right to the hour. My sister said the record, the music industry likes to keep it right at that place.
Right.
So for respect out of our guests, and we totally appreciate Zeb, you coming on.
Do you have any last? You guys are super cool.
Yeah. Well, we have fun, man. Me and James have been doing this like almost a year and a half. Well, a year and a half, we've been kind of hanging, doing live streams.
Yeah. We start with the old Beards and Desserts and switch it up from beards to music.
Yeah. James, I may need to get some tips, man. I'd like to grow this thing out. I may need to get some tips down the line.
He's got the tips. He's been growing that thing. That's a beautiful thing.
Actually, I did a recent trim on it, but. Yeah,
I saw that, and you did a pretty good job because I didn't even go. I'll be honest with you, I don't go anywhere near it. I'm like barber guy. Yeah, I'm too afraid to go do it myself.
I was looking at barbers, and I'm like, you know what? I got a trimmer. I'm eventually learn myself. So I'm either gonna mess it up or have somebody fix it. So
Right on, man. Cool. So, any last words, James, or any last thoughts?
No, yeah, this is just it's an awesome. Every week, I look forward to it to learn who we're gonna interview next and find out what music, you know, that we can, you know, jam out to and learn more about, you know, yep, learn from. So yeah, I've enjoyed it. But yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Zeb. We totally appreciate it. Any last fan words, anything that you'd like to, I mean, when your album's coming out October-ish.
Yeah, it should be October. We should have another single out here in about a month. I'm just trying to finish up the artwork and finish up the vocals in the studio. I would say just follow me on social media. And like you guys said, you'll be able to listen in on Spotify to their playlists and check out some of that stuff there. And other than that, no, I appreciate it very much. You know, having me on, this has been super cool.
Yeah, but we'll catch up again. We always like to say, where are they now? You know, in a year from now, maybe or whenever we want to, you know, and you come out with a new album, we're like, hey, let's talk about the album.
Right.
Back on. So we'll definitely have them on again. Amazing artists. I absolutely really enjoyed doing this. And again, anybody in future tense land and our current viewers, we appreciate you guys more than you guys know. It is just an honor to be able to hang out and talk music and then have people come to our show and hang out and watch it and totally appreciate it. So we will catch you on the flip side. Keep it sweet. Keep it bearded. We'll talk to you soon.
Much love. Peace.